Awkward people, Stephanie and I are super excited to announce a new partnership that we have with a swinging community site called SDC. Now, the way that we're going to handle this one is this is where we're going to communicate from now on with anybody that we want to play with, because SDC has a great way of letting us figure out exactly what somebody is. It's going to ask all the right questions. I get to know what their height, their weight, their play preference. All kinds of pictures, they can upload videos, and it makes it super easy to search and verify location on. So we figured, hey, if they're gonna let us play and advertise, that's probably gonna be the right site for us to use, right, Steph?
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense.
It's like window shopping now. Steph can just jump on and whoever she likes, boom, right there. Now, if you wanna make sure that you get connected with us on that site, sign up through our link, awkward. XXX.com. Anybody that signs up there, we will find out. Now, maybe not immediately because we're still learning, but we will find you and we will send you a message saying, hey, thank you for joining. And it'll be a great way for us to connect and have unfiltered conversation together. So we're really looking forward to it. And hopefully, we'll see you online at Awkward XX. So we dropped all of our prices
Yeah.
because we're trying to create community here instead of just try to make money. You know, I always said that when I was in real estate, that if we took care of our community first, the money would come. And
And they
that's
would take care of
exactly,
us.
exactly. And that's what we're trying to do here. So on our Fansly now, we have it opened up pretty wide for about $100. You can see every pay-per-view that we have available.
Right.
Opened right there. We're also dropping the prices of all our pay-per-views across the board. So instead of $30 a pop, they're going to be $20 a pop. We know the economy is struggling right now, but we also just really want to increase the amount of people that can see our content and possibly join in. So if you think that might be you, check it out, virginitysnatchers.com. Please support us and leave a comment, like it, share it, tell your family about it. And we'll see you there. So, you know, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene.
Yeah.
You know, the Summer's Eve products, you know, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not Summer's Eve
Right.
or Spring Blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, that's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern, was what is this going to smell like?
I was like,
'Cause
uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And, you know, you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
Works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to, you know, take away that natural,
Flavor.
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo and use our discount code StephanieClassX and get yourself. You're listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jason Class, along with my wife, OnlyFans model, and self-proclaimed awkward chick, Stephanie Class. We're here to get the awkward stuff out of the way. This podcast is a true representation of our journey through anxiety and learning to love sex. If any of that offends you, we'd like to say, fuck you. Right, everybody, welcome back to Awkward Pillow Talk. I believe this is episode 41.
Really?
Yeah,
Wow.
according to what? Well, I think it may be according to Spotify. Is 40 or 41?
Okay.
I don't like counting, so I'm like gonna just
Just go off of
take
what
the
they're
word
saying.
from what I've said. Like, I was gonna count all the way down, but
I'll
they're just gonna
count it
make me
next
go to the
time.
next page.
I'll count it
And
next
that
time.
to me, like, if I have to click next page, I'm done counting at that
I'll
point.
count it now.
That's fine. Yeah,
That's my job.
I can hook you up with the stats.
There you go.
You can see how well we're doing in the UAE
Perfect.
on
That's
a,
my job.
yeah, cool. So everybody, if you are enjoying our ramblings, we would appreciate that you leave us a review. We really need reviews just kind of across the board on anything.
Yeah.
Interact with us. And the worst thing ever happened again, and we lost our Reddit account again. Yeah. So clearly somebody's after us. And this was one of those ones where it was like, hey, we got a suspension notice for 3 days. And we're like, huh, what's that for? And it was for a message that we sent to somebody that was like, hey, we don't really talk on here, but feel free to, you know, go there. And it was reported for spam. And then about 5 hours later, we got another suspension notice for the same thing.
Right.
And then about 12 hours later, we got a permanent ban. Yep. And the permanent ban was an IP ban. So none of our accounts on Reddit work anymore.
Yep, it kind of sucks.
And we tried to, of course, argue it with Reddit, and they were like, nah, you guys are still banned. Yeah. So we'd appreciate anybody's support. You know, come support us on Instagram, on Twitter, on all the other platforms that are actually sex worker friendly. That would be super awesome. Now we're going to get to our guest for the day, who, again, I just want to say my favorite part of these interviews actually may be before we even hit fucking record.
Yeah.
And the guests are just, or not the guests, but the listeners, rather, are missing out on it.
Yeah, they're missing out on it.
But we're able to connect super quick with a lot of these guests.
For sure.
And Bryn is no exception. And Bryn did come through recommendation of another one of my favorite guests, Sam Sundius, who you can check out. That was our Autistic Porn Stars episode, which is one of my favorite fucking titles that I've come up with.
She had a lot of good feedback and notes and stuff.
And we still talk about our conversation with Sam too, so I'm sure our conversation with Bryn will be no different. And Bryn, as I told you before, I'm not going to introduce you in what you do. I'm going to make you do it yourself. It's time for you to pull some weight. Tell us what you do.
Awesome. So I do one thing, but I don't know what to call it, I guess. So sometimes I call myself a trauma-informed witch. My official boring title is certified coroenergetics practitioner. But basically what the fuck all of that means is that I work with clients mostly one-on-one. I do some workshops and groups too. And it's similar to therapy, talk therapy, but it also involves somatics. It involves the body. So people come to me because they're going through a divorce, or they have super high anxiety, or their career isn't going the way they want it to go. And I work a lot with trauma, shit that happened in childhood that's holding them back from, you know, that's impacting their life today.
Okay.
And part of the way that I work with it is expressing through the body. So that can look like take a deep breath. That can also look like the studio that I rent to see my clients. We have a punching pad and boxing gloves. It can look like screaming. It can look like, it can be very, very intense body stuff. It can be very gentle, soft body.
That's cool.
Stuff. So that is what I do. And kind of one of the connections that we might talk about is I do work with people on their sex life. So that is part of the work I do with clients. So
there's a lot to bite in there. First off, I want to say thank you for not making me introduce your job title. Because I would have fucked it up. And that is exactly why I have come up with this rule of thumb. I used to try, and then it would be like, yeah, well, kind of. And I'm like, no, fuck this. I'm going to fuck this.
They're like, you kind of got it.
I can barely give people my title. What the fuck do I do? I kind of do porn sometimes. I do podcasts. I'm a dad. I don't know. I do all kinds of shit. So, I feel that. But one theme that we are continually coming across is anxiety. And anxiety in so many different fucking forms. And anxiety for so many different reasons.
Right.
And there's so many different cures for the different types that there are, right? We can't just pinpoint this anxiety and say, hey, this is going to be your cure, you know, because this one pill worked for you.
Right.
Doesn't mean that that is going to be the end all
for everybody.
Cure for everybody. And sometimes it's, hey, you do need a pill along with something else, you know.
It's a lot of trial and error.
There's no shame in how you take care of it. But I do love hearing about how other people can go about it, because one of the key things about anxiety is not wanting to talk about anxiety or not wanting to dig in deeper to find out more about your anxiety, because damn, nothing tells you more that like, hey, I don't want to find out what's happening and uncover more issues, you know. That's the last thing I need, is to uncover more shit.
Right. Find out there's even more going on than just the anxiety.
But maybe, you know, with what you're saying with the trauma side of things, maybe by being able to dig in and saying, hey, I'm going to face this, that could help. Is that kind of what I'm understanding from your side of things?
Yeah, so I think you're right that there's so many ways to work with anxiety, and there's so many ways that work. And just because it works for one person doesn't mean it works for someone else. So I think what you said is totally spot on there. And I am someone who had high anxiety, so I get a lot of anxious clients because I'm like, I get it.
My people come to me.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, you know, yes.
I get it.
Yeah, like I used to be the person who, I used to work for a nonprofit, and writing an email, it would take me like a week because I'd be like editing, re-editing.
Yep. Overthinking everything. Be like, yeah. Okay, does this come off too harsh or too like, yeah. Yep. I totally get it.
And so like what I say when people have anxiety is like, we want to kind of be a detective and see what works for you, because we are all different. And actually a example I always give is like, for some people, actually sex and masturbation helps. It can ground them. It can make them feel better. If you had sexual trauma, that kind of thing might spike your anxiety.
Yeah.
So what works for me might work for you, but it also might not. Yeah. So we're being detectives. We're figuring out what works. People usually already know some stuff that works and they're already doing it. Like some people going for a walk really helps.
Yeah.
You know, some people it is taking deep breaths. Some people it's going to the gym. But yeah, trauma is often like underneath it all. So I can go to the gym, feel better, go to the gym, feel better, go to the gym, feel better. But if we don't address sometimes like the cause of the anxiety of like, I'm getting triggered when anyone has the same tone of voice as my dad had, because I had some trauma with my dad, even though this like new man might be like a nice guy and he's not going to hit me or he's not going to scream at me. But I, in my brain, a certain tone of voice or a certain look in the eye can trigger that old response of like something really bad is going to happen. If we don't deal with that, it's not that like going to the gym is bad. If that works for you, keep going. But part of what I'm doing with my clients is trying to get to that underneath stuff and heal the underneath stuff and start to separate. Like I was even working with a client yesterday where it's just like, we were saying, you know, we did some work on the trauma with his father. And then at the end, it was like, okay, this person in your life now is not your dad.
Because
the session started with someone he's feeling like he has to walk on eggshells around it. And in this case, it's actually a woman he feels like he has to walk on eggshells around. But we went underneath, we're digging down, and he had to walk on eggshells with his dad. And something about this woman just reminds him of that. And so he's kind of being like a little kid around this woman. Because it's triggering that I'm not going to be safe. I might get hit, but this woman's not going to hit him, right? Like that has never happened. There's no indication of that. So we worked on the shit with his dad. And then we come back to the present where we're like, she's not him. You can say no to her. You can do all these things you couldn't do with your dad because it actually wasn't safe when you were a kid.
For sure. Like letting your guard down is tough though. Like, you know, as far as like when you have that anxiety, like being able to like just like say, okay, this isn't the same, and like try to like see the other perspective. Like it's,
well, what's interesting to me, so tough. Without like outing anybody right. in specific, we have a very close friend that we think we would love to, we'd just love to work with her in general. She's, you know, had expressed interest in working with us,
right.
but she said, hey, there's some, you know,
stuff going on.
Some trauma essentially right. that I need to deal with. Essentially, you know, family members from when I was younger, you know, just kind of feeling up on me and stuff like that. So, you know, for her, yes, it would be super empowering to be able to like say, hey, I, to own, you know, her sexuality right. and be like, hey, I'm throwing it out there. I'm monetizing it. You know, I'm taking charge of it. But that thing is still in the background to her, to where it's like, I don't want to be objectified.
Right.
You know what I mean? I, maybe there's negative feelings that have been associated with it. And it's how do you overcome that? You're like, okay, I really do want to do this, but something in me is just like my body's response is just saying, there's no fucking way this can happen.
Right.
You know, it's like your mind and your body are just not agreeing.
Yeah. So like to take it back to my example from yesterday, cause I think it can kind of apply, like at the start of the session, if I had just said like, this woman's not going to hit you, why are you walking on eggshells around her? He would have been like, I am, I don't know why, you know?
Right. Like yeah. just, yeah.
Like that wouldn't have been helpful to just say that. So first what we had to do was like validate the little kid that did get hurt by his dad, both emotional abuse and some physical abuse, and say, it makes sense that you're scared. It makes sense that you were terrified. You were 5 years old. He was a grown man.
Right.
Like this fear makes sense. You're not crazy.
Yes.
To even say to this woman, right? You're not crazy that you're terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Makes so much sense. What you went through, and to work with, like, we call it inner child work. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but it's like working with the little kid, working with the 5-year-old in him, talking to the 5-year-old, letting the 5-year-old say, I'm scared of this lady, you know, right. whatever the 5-year-old needs to say,
it makes
validating
sense.
Them, like this client cried, you know, it was like a whole thing. And then once the little kid is validated and feels a little more grounded and feel safer, then I could go and be like, dude, this one is not going to hit you. You're fine.
Right.
I'm going to, coming from like a background of like super conservative and all that kind of shit, I want to like jump out and just say, like, if you're listening to this from the outside and this just sounds like totally fucking bogus and wacky to you, that like you probably just are not open enough to it.
Right. Like you just don't understand that it is a real thing.
There's people that really do benefit from this shit.
Right.
And the you know, just because you haven't experienced what they have experienced with does not mean you should like bash it or hate on it.
For sure.
Because my mind automatically, I will admit, as you're talking to me about, you know, this speaking to the inner child, I'm like, well, that's fucking nuts. But no, I can't bash it, because like I said the same shit about hypnosis
right.
not too long ago. And then she had this experience with that. So like, I feel like it's something I should just kind of come out and say to everybody.
Yeah.
I feel like other people are probably thinking what I was thinking.
Right. It's one of those things where it's like, you have to, like, unless you've been through something like that experience or something similar, you don't know what it's like.
To be able to open your mind up right. even and say, okay, fuck it. Fuck, you know, the only downside you could have from an experience with you like this is what other people might think of you going and being part of that. But you're in a closed session, you're in a safe space.
Right.
So anxiety should be free and, you know,
be open. And
especially if you're going to pay somebody to go and do this shit, you better be open. You know,
right.
you better drop that anxiety. You better get the best out of it.
Right, for sure.
So,
because, I mean, yeah, if not, then
it's my thought process.
But, yeah, like, you, I mean, you're not going to benefit from it in the long run. You know, in essence, I guess.
Right.
So. Yeah. And this, the work that I do is not for everyone. Like some people, they benefit more from like cognitive behavioral therapy that has like a ton of science behind it. And they can read all those papers and like that is the thing that's gonna help them. Like, this isn't, I think, like, I'm like so biased because I'm like, well, actually, your 5-year-old is talking to me right now. So, like, shut the fuck up.
Like, you're like, just listen.
Like, you're not in your adult if you're like coming at me or whatever. But like, that's my opinion.
Okay.
But I know that the work that I do with like hitting shit with like, you know, we have these big foam blocks that are like come up to your waist and you like hit it with a tennis racket. And like, you know, like some people that really scares them and they're like, it's a cult, you know, and like, you're allowed to have that opinion. And this work isn't for everyone.
Well, but I think it's important to talk about that, though, that people are still like, somebody like Steph is going to look at this, you know, from the outside who has the anxiety and is like, okay, well, I think it's crazy that she's hitting things in her studio, but she thinks it's crazy too. So, okay, that's fine. Now,
like, okay, you know, we're all on the same page.
We're on the same page, right? That we're here to have a journey towards wellness together, you know, whatever right. That path might be. And we're trusting Bryn to basically tell us, hey, this is a path that you should try.
And because, it's okay.
You know, it's okay to do this. And maybe a little crazy is what you need at this point in your life.
What's the word? It's not unethical, but what's the
conventional.
Unconventional.
Thank you. I was like, I can't think of the word, but yeah, it's like the unconventional approach. Right.
Because I know also there's the same people that would tell me, hey, you're, you know, batshit crazy are going to be the same people that would be like, I would never go see a fucking shrink. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, okay.
Well, who's crazy now?
So now we're not going to go to the unconventional. We're not going to go to the conventional. We're just going to be stuck in this zone of who we are and be miserable with life. Nah, fuck that. Right. There's more to life than that.
For sure.
Yeah. And for me, like, as someone who had high anxiety, like, I tried conventional therapy. I tried going to the regular shrink. And when I found this, like, somatic embodied stuff, for me, it was like one of these somatic sessions was like equal to 20 talk therapy sessions.
Wow. Okay.
So for me, this is like the reason that I ended up getting certified in this, because it was because I was like, oh, this shit works. Like, it's working right. For like, I feel better.
Yeah.
So I want to go.
Unfortunately, it's always that loud minority, you right. know, the people that it doesn't work for, they're like, oh yeah, I tried that bullshit out and it was just a bunch of crazy stuff, you know. It's going to be the people that it works for that are like, I'm not going to say that worked for me because people are going to think I'm crazy too,
right?
You know,
right.
And that's, I mean, that's kind of like our whole fucking discussion on right. this thing. It's just like, hey, there's a lot of crazy shit
stigma.
That maybe isn't that crazy if you just take a chance and try it and say,
talk about it and like,
and say, okay,
normalize
hey, you know,
it.
If I stop caring what other people think, maybe I could try this and actually benefit and make my life a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, we wouldn't have started this podcast had we still been caring as much what people think.
Or with my anxiety being as high as it was.
Yes.
Because, like, if you had told us 6 months ago that my anxiety would not been cured, but like under control, and you know,
this podcast was an idea for like 2 years,
right?
Before this, we had talked about it so many times. She was just like, "No, I can't. Like, what am I going to talk about?"
Right.
Like, you don't have to talk about anything. You just let me talk. Like I always.
I'll just sit here.
And you just sit there and you just chime in when you want to, and it'll be great.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we did.
Right, but my anxiety was just so like high that it was like I can't even fathom doing that, and so it was like. Once it started to like, but I didn't realize it was anxiety. And so it was like, I was like, I can't do that. Like, that is not me. That's not my personality. And then it just kind of like all these pieces started like coming together and it was like, oh shit, I've got anxiety. I was like,
right.
Oh, like, and then, you know, we figured out the medication and all that. And it was like, I can do that.
Now
like,
we just talk about it to everybody.
Right.
Like, everybody like, is like, I got a problem with something. I'm like, that might be anxiety.
Right. Like I've had friends reach out. And just be like, hey, I listened to, you know, like one of the podcast episodes about anxiety and they're like, help me. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but like, this is what I take. This is what I did. And I'm like, talk to your doctor.
Open conversation though, even with people that, you know, like we told all of our friends at this point, like if there's something weird, like that you want to talk to somebody and you want a good answer, there's a solid chance Steph and I have an answer at this point.
It might not be
the... Because we've found it out either the right way or the wrong way.
Right.
But like, either we can give you the answer or we can direct you to somebody that has the answer, and we're not going to fucking judge you.
Right.
But like, at least you know you can use us as a resource to be like, hey, connect me. You know, how can you help me?
I mean, yeah, like I said, we're not professionals or anything, but like, yeah,
we know a lot of shit and we know a lot of people.
Right.
So
yeah, and I think like in some ways, if you like give me like someone who has like a certification in something versus like someone who's lived it, a lot of times I want the person who's lived it. I want the advice from the person who's, because sometimes we have these like, you know, psychiatrists or like people with PhDs or whatever, but if they don't have the lived experience, they're not, even though they've studied it,
right,
they don't understand what it's like. So I think there's so much value in like, you know, talking to people who've been through it. And I think it's amazing. I mean, you guys are like fighting stigma on so many levels, right? Like,
we're trying. That's the plan.
Sex work, right, is so, yeah, so stigmatized. Anxiety, taking medication.
Yeah.
You know, I even find with my clients, they're like happy to do the work with me. And some of them are happy to take medication. And other people are just like, well, I don't want like a diagnosis. And it's like, because there's a stigma there, and it's like,
for sure,
I get it.
Well, I mean, Sam on our podcast with Sam, she diagnosed me with unofficially with autism. So I was like, well, damn, maybe.
Oh, Sam sent her down a whole.
We went down a rabbit hole, but I was like, she started all clicking, and I was like, well, shit, like maybe. I was like, I never thought of that. And
we just kind of landed on everybody's a little bit on the spectrum somewhere. Yeah. You know, everybody's got their
own. It's a spectrum, right?
Yeah. And, right. There's no like end, you know, on either side to where it lies. It's, yeah. But
you just got
to
be comfortable in your skin and just kind of accept it. That's been the most fun thing recently for us. I think within the last 2 months, we've just kind of accepted like, hey, this is just who we are. And if you don't like it, fuck you.
Right. They're like, see you later.
And it's been cool because we get like our real homies coming out now.
Right. You know? Like people, these people that like we have not talked to like in years, but they'll like reach out and be like, hey, like I've been thinking about doing this. Help. And we're like, that's cool. So cool. You're part of our little like group now. Come on. We've got you.
And then I got other people that I was like, this person's definitely my homie. I'm going to let them know personally.
Right.
And then they just never talk to you again.
And you're like, okay, cool. Like, so, I guess see you later. Like,
wild.
Yeah.
Like, what did me doing this have any effect on you? You know, how did this change for you?
But like, but, oh, sorry, we have sex. Like,
I feel like not bragging, but explaining it to guys is a little different. We were talking about this yesterday with one of your friends because
you wanted
to brag to somebody about this. You know,
situation
that we ended up in, and she was like, well, I've got a girlfriend I can reach out to, and I'll message her, and her friend reaches back, girl, that's so awesome.
She was like, oh, yes.
And I was like, that's so awesome for you guys, because like if I reached out and I bragged about it to my friend, I would just not get a response.
Yeah.
I was like, even my best friend just can't even fucking respond back and be like, dude, awesome.
You were having a whole conversation with him.
So I tested it. I had a whole conversation with him. And
like a normal conversation.
He's responding to me minute by minute, and then I drop my little brag, and then conversation ends. And I'm like, just like, come on, man. Like, I'm not even like a misogynistic dick, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going out and be like, oh, look at me, look at all the women I can bang. You
but
know
like,
I mean?
You know, when there's a fun situation that you're like, damn, I wish I had somebody to tell this to, you're like, you know, I have a handful of people that I can be like, yo, like, guess what happened? They're all like, yes.
When you're a porn star, sometimes kissing and telling is cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's okay. Yeah. Like, you can hey, you're not. Check out this awesome business move that I just got to
do. Right. You're
you
like, know? Yes, we just made this huge connect, and you're like, this is going to be awesome. Or, you know, whatever. And you're like, I just got to tell somebody. Because you're like, you know, sex work is a very lonely lifestyle, community, whatever you want to call it, it's very isolating. And so it's like when you have people that you can, I mean, brag, talk to, whatever, shoot the shit, like vent, any of it, like it makes it
It helps normalize everything too. You know, they can be, they can say, hey, that's cool. They can be like, y'all are crazy.
Right, you're like, whoa, that's too much for me.
They can kind of help you figure out where you're at balance-wise. But like, regardless, you know, I feel like everybody has that thing they want to just be like, get off their chest and just be like,
hey. I mean, like, you can go to a normal job and be like, hey, I just landed this huge, like,
promotion
or whatever. Right. Like, I feel like, you know, we can't do that, you know, with the sex work.
I was like, man, I just landed this, you know, awesome collab, you know. Aww, and I was like, you just couldn't even believe it. And then just nothing. I'm like, it is what
it is. Text me. I'll celebrate
you. You know what? At the end of the day, my prize is the job. Yeah. So, you know,
I mean, we have fun.
You can't feel too bad for me. So I mean, we have each other to
celebrate with, but it's not the same because we were both there. So it's like, you know.
But no, I mean, I can still call you. Like, this, even this morning, I was driving out. I was driving out this morning.
That's right.
I saw this beautiful woman right out front of our house.
Yes.
like an 11 on a scale of 10.
Yeah.
I've never seen something like this in the wild before. I had to call her because I was like, hey, not only is there this beautiful woman there, but she's also your old lady best friend's granddaughter, I think.
Yeah, so, go outside and just go have a look real quick. I think she's about to go on a run. And I was like, all right. So I like go outside. I'm like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, there she is. Okay. And I'm like, pretty sure it is my neighbor's granddaughter. But I'm like, damn. Like the awkwardness of that now. You're like, But
I know where my allegiance stands.
And it's not with the neighbor.
It's not with the neighbor.
Yeah. I like, have you guys watched or listened to Holly Randall's podcast?
Bits and pieces, but I'll be honest with you. I'm like, I got into podcasting with zero research whatsoever.
We like don't listen to podcasts. And so like when he was like, hey, we're going to do a podcast. I'm like, what do we know about a podcast? Like,
I'm going to record it
to do. And he was like, we'll figure it out. I like to shoot from the hip. I'm like, cool.
It's just she's like a porn producer. Mm-hmm. And okay. She talks.
Yeah, I know who she is.
I don't know who she is.
No, you don't know who she is because you don't do those research.
Yeah.
Maybe that's who you need to listen to. Maybe you need to turn, while you're doing your work, we'll turn on her podcast.
Okay. Well, it's hard with the kids around now during the summer.
Yeah, headphones.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. All right.
You gotta listen to some industry stuff, you know?
I probably do.
Well, I just like it because it's like two people in the industry. So there's not that stigma. Because if you listen to like sex workers getting interviewed by like civilians or whatever,
right.
A lot of times like there's weird questions or like weird, like people will be like, well, you're the first full service sex worker I've ever talked to. You know, like there's like,
they don't know how to like ask the questions.
We had an interview like that with somebody that we, I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but it was just awkward. We were on their podcast and it was like, it became we're like, yeah, we're going to talk about our sex life. But like the way that it started coming across was like kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So I was like, that was a little weird.
It was weird. That was like one of the first things. Like that was before we even like started ours.
No, it was like a week or two after ours started.
It's all over. But
I do like being able to talk to people that are into the industry like us because obviously nothing's going to shock me at this point,
right?
But I also love hearing about like the business side of things. Because I come from sales, so to be able to hear like their marketing or their sales strategy or like we talked to this one lady that was making $150,000 a month, Nita Marie.
Yep.
And she was, you know, she started explaining her sales strategy to me. I'm like, geez, I told you that 2 years ago.
And I was like,
literally a sales funnel, everything I'd ever talked about. And you're like, no, that's not it.
And I was like, that's not the way we need to do it. And you're like, no, that's the way to do it. And we're like, damn it. Like, yep. Probably should have.
So now we're back onto that track.
Right.
2 years later.
At the time, I don't think I would have been able to do that with the anxiety that I had. So it was like,
everything happens for a reason at the right time. I'm a very big believer in that.
Yes.
Just kind of going with the flow. We're meeting the right people at the right time.
We put our little, like, we cast our nets and we see what catches and okay, you're ours now, if you will. Like, you know, in a weird way. Like,
until you fight us too hard. And then
until you struggle and you don't want to be let free, then okay. You're part of our collection now, if you will, in a weird way.
Collection.
It's like Pokemon. You got to catch them all, right?
Yeah. You're not getting creepy at all. But...
Whatever. We can cut that part out if we need.
Stephanie Class wants to collect you.
Oh, it's not what I mean.
Well, Brent, I think this may be a good place for us to end, unless there is something else that you would like to bring up.
I have something. How would they contact her?
Oh, shit. We got two more things.
Yes. Two more quick things.
We'll start with the first one. This is our newest awkward question, which is, do you watch porn?
So I am like a new porn watcher, I would say.
Okay.
Like, I was like totally blinded by the stigma. I was like, you know, you hear like, oh, people are sex trafficked, or they're doing porn, they don't want to do it. And then, like, for a minute, I was like, okay, let me find like feminist porn or whatever.
Right.
And then that was like, it's just was like, this is too hard to like, I gave up. And so I just didn't watch it at all for a long time. And now I'm just like, I'm curious about this world, and I've been listening. I'm a podcast listener, okay? I'm not you guys. So I've been listening to all these interviews with like porn stars like Angela White, who like knew she wanted to get into porn when she was 14 years old, and like she only did girl for the first 8 years because that's how she felt safe. And then after 8 years, she was like, maybe I want to like dip my toe into boy girl. And now she does like everything, right? She does like blow bangs and like the most like extreme stuff, but it's all been on her terms. And for her, it's like, she's just a totally sexual person. And for her, it's like, I'm just here to explore my sex life and I get paid for it. And it's like fucking awesome. So
it's awesome,
now
yeah.
I'm like, oh, and so, I think too with like OnlyFans and everything, it's like with OnlyFans, it's all kind of like almost, probably not all, but like a lot of it is feminist porn or whatever on OnlyFans, because like the creators are in charge of their own.
I think within content. Reason, I think when we get to the smaller side for sure, like we know a lot of smaller creators, but once they get to the bigger agency side of things, things start to get a little muddled on what they have control of, versus what sells and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right.
And that's one thing that we are dead set against. It doesn't matter how much money you're going to come at us. I'm not going to do an agency and get rid of Steph's ability to make a decision on a scene that she wants to do.
Right. Yeah.
That's been a huge part of our journey. And I feel like that's a huge part of everybody that we work with, is we tell everybody that comes to collaborate with us, there's nothing I'm ever going to force you to do.
Right.
I'm never going to be like, oh, I have to get a cum shot in your mouth for this scene.
Or
oh,
whatever.
I've got to do this. And, or I've got to, like, that is not me. No
and
way.
For us, like, with the anxiety I have, like, I had, like, there was points where, like, I would, like, write out a script. Because I'm like, I have to know what is coming. Even though we're in control, I'm like, I have to know, like, how everything is going to progress.
She loved the scenario, but then she couldn't have the creativity to, like, fully flesh out the scenario. So I would then, you know, dream up a scenario, put down a script, and be like, how do you think about this? And she'd be like, that's fucking awesome.
It's so like,
and then
that's
we'd move forward
and
from
then,
there. But that like, was our way of exploring.
But like for us, like if we have someone do like a collab or whatever, we'll be like, hey, this is kind of how it's going to go. Like, you know, we're going to kind of go from here to here to here to here.
If there's
so
something
that way,
you would like to add.
Right. Or take
fair
out
chance
or
we're
whatever.
We're comfortable with it. But we're not going to throw in something too extreme that like,
we're not going to like make a, you know, a call an audible and, you know, throw something in that we have not discussed and, you know, like make you uncomfortable. Cause like for us, we want to feel comfortable and we want you to feel comfortable and we want it to feel like a safe environment. So, and that's what a lot of.
And this is the unfortunate side about this industry is I feel like I don't want to like keep like tooting my own horn, but there's a lot of dudes in this industry that don't have that same like
moral compass
or softness, I guess. I don't want to say I'm soft, but like there's a certain way to handle these situations, I think. And there's certain things that just aren't that fucking important versus somebody's mental health.
Right.
And I feel like I put a stop to that well before it ever gets to that point. Right. I can read people like a book. So the second I think somebody's starting to feel uncomfortable, I put a stop to it, or I say, hey, what's going on?
Right.
And I don't ever want anybody to feel like they're in a position to where they have to say, hey, Jason, I'm not comfortable here.
Right.
I want to be able to read that before it gets to that position.
Because like he
or be able to ask them ahead of time and say, hey, is this something you're comfortable with? And right. not just spring it on them in the moment.
Right. Because he knows how it would make me feel. And we want
it would shut down the rest of the scene.
Right.
It's done at that point. Once one thing wrong happened, that you can tell on the face, it's done. She's shut down and it's going through the motions at that point.
Right.
And nobody wants to fucking do that at that point.
You can't sell it because you can tell that your heart's not into the work or whatever. And so it's, yeah, that's always been our big thing is making sure.
So I get it. I get what you're saying. Yeah. That is good. Hopefully you come check out some of Steph's stuff at some point. It is fantastical.
Fantastical.
I'm going with it. Now here's the second question.
Tell me.
Yes.
Okay.
This one's not as,
this one's not as fun.
Yeah.
But,
this was more for me.
So somebody like Steph who has anxiety, one of the big concerns is if they want to reach out to you and they give you the contact information, you're going to call them right away on the phone. And if you call Steph right away on the phone, fuck you, your business is dead.
I will not answer. I will never contact you again. And that's it. That's
so
the end of it.
How is this going to work? How are we going to reach out to you? Is it online forms? Is it emails? How are we going to expect this interaction to be?
Well, I'm like Steph, so I'm not fucking calling you.
Perfect.
It's
a good start.
You can reach out to me. Like I'm most active on Facebook and TikTok. I'm not. I have an Instagram, but I like half quit. You can DM me on Instagram. I might just be like, it might take me a little bit longer to see it. And LinkedIn, it's going to take me like a month or more. So don't do LinkedIn. So I'm at Bryn_Bamber on Instagram. On Facebook, I'm Bryn Bamber, and I use like my personal page. So add me as a friend, and we can go from there. And then TikTok, I think I'm at Bryn Bamber.
Okay.
Well, we will make sure then. So Bryn is not going to call you.
Right.
You guys can do the messaging through social media until you move it to somewhere that is agreeable.
Right.
I think that's the most important part is that they can
make the initial contact
and not have to wait for a phone call.
Like sit there with that anxiety, like, oh, when are they going to call? Like,
yeah. And actually, because we ended up talking about anxiety, I do have a free, it's a 10-minute anxiety training. And it's basically an exercise to do in the moment. Like if you feel panic or anxiety, it's something that a process that I talk you through. My clients love it. It's probably like the thing that I've made that my clients use the most often. And it, at the end of the 10 minutes, I'm not going to guarantee that your anxiety will be gone, but usually it'll be like at least like 5 or 10% decreased and you'll be able to know like what to do next.
Awesome.
So I can give you guys the link.
Awesome.
For that to get in the show notes.
Yes, we can definitely do
and that. Yeah, like I do have ways to like get on the phone with me, but it's like you fill out a form, we both agree on the time, you know?
It's
like,
all set up. So
this is the surprise phone call that we are protecting people against here. That is the surprise phone call.
Yes,
that's what we're protecting people against.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't answer. If I don't know your number, I'm just like,
that's if you call her and she doesn't recognize the number,
if it's not in my contact, no, yeah, either just let it go to voicemail or if he's nearby, I'm like, here you go, have fun. Like,
I don't like the doorbell rang this morning. I don't answer the door.
No, I don't
if
either.
If I don't know, if we have not agreed that you're coming over for coffee and you knock on my door, I'm not answering.
I do the like little sneaky, like, peek out the window, like, hopefully they don't see.
That, even though we have a fucking ring doorbell, too. Like,
hi.
She's still, I'm like, look, I can get you the app on the phone. She's like, no.
I'll just do the creep, like, through the window and, oh, no, we're not going to look at this person.
She literally had our dog trained, our dog who we had to put down a few months ago, but he was trained that if he barked at the window, she would come
go
and give him attention at the window. because she also wanted to see what was going on.
So that we have, you know,
so
both
sometimes
dogs.
Sometimes you just bark at the window just to get her to come over.
You're like, hey, I want you to come spend time with me. And so then we'd have both dogs and me all looking out the window.
And I'd be
and I'm like,
I'd be like, don't fall for it. Don't fall for
I'm like,
it. There's
okay,
nothing
I won't
out
fall
there.
For it. I won't
and
fall
like,
for
eh,
it.
And she's like, I'm going to go see just to
and
make
then
sure.
I'm like, yeah, but like maybe there is something serious out there and they're never. It's like a squirrel or a leaf or something. And you're like, cool. You got me again, bud. Like
when I was a teenager, I had a piano teacher that was like that. And if we were, so we would do like lessons in her living room. And then if someone knocked on the door, I was like trained to like sit on the floor.
That's hilarious.
Mid-lesson, we would like
hit the
deck, hide and pretend no one's home. And I used to think she was crazy, but like now I'm that lady.
My mom used to do that shit with the Schwann's delivery, the Schwann's food delivery guy.
Yeah.
When she didn't want to like place an order with him.
Yeah.
Because like she'd usually want to place an order, but if there was a week that she didn't want to, she knew that that guy got paid commission.
Right.
So she didn't want to like disappoint him because he was a friend. So instead of saying, no, we're going to pass this week, we were going to shut all the lights off before
he
came.
Yeah, exactly.
And then hide behind the island in the kitchen.
Yep.
Just to make sure he didn't see any movement.
Yep.
And then once he drove off, okay, hey, we can resume
our evening. Good now. Like, you know, there's times where I'll tell like our kids be like, everybody get down, be quiet. No, no, don't look out the window. Like, we're not doing this. And then like, you know, the dog inevitably opens the blinds and you're like, damn it. Like, you can see us. And I'm like,
now it's DoorDash I try to hide from. I don't want to see them walking up my doorstep and make eye contact with me.
Right. You're like, this is like the third time
this is the third time you've seen me. I've literally, third time today, the same Dasher has come to my door. They're definitely judging me.
Yeah.
But well, I think this is a good spot for us to end now, Bryn. We managed to squeeze another like 12 minutes out of that conversation with things I forgot. But that just means the conversation's flowing and we're having a good time.
We're having a good time.
So thank you for joining us. And if you ever want to come back and talk to us again, we would love to have you. Just let us know. And if you don't mind staying on for a little bit while this finishes out, and I will hit end here. Everybody, make sure you go check Bryn out. We'll have
check
all the
socials
on the show notes. Make sure you go check out Stephanie's page, onlyfans.com/StephanieClass. And make sure you follow all of her socials since we're getting fucked daily on Reddit. And all those other ones, we need as much help as we can get.
Yep.
So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next time. Common Confidential. You know, sometimes when you think about luxury, you think about like the bed sheets or the mattress that you're on. You don't necessarily think about the towels that you're going to use to clean up with afterwards. And that is probably my favorite thing about what we received from Common Confidential is these little cum rags. Y'all, it seems silly, but they are absolutely amazing. I mean, let's not get it twisted. The blanket they gave us is awesome too. Steph and I rolled around on it immediately. And the body butter that they gave us, I mean, it works for penetration too, which, you know, right up our alley. But still, the 6 washcloths, that is what I think about most often and what I try to keep clean. Because if I'm going to clean up, I'd much rather clean up with that than with a paper towel. I know it's silly, but y'all go check it out yourself, commonconfidential.com, and then use our discount code, AwkwardPillowTalk. Get some for yourself. You're going to thank me later. So, you know, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene.
Yeah.
You know, the summer's eve products, you know, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not summer's eve.
Right.
Or spring blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, it's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern, was what is this going to smell like?
I was like, uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And, you know, you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself, too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
Works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to, you know, take away that natural
flavor,
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo. and use our discount code StephanieClassX and get yourself.
So I feel like this is one of those items that everybody always laughs about. Like you kind of saw it in movies. You're like, oh, it's a penis pump, you know, and you're thinking, what is the point of that? Well, you know, along with all of this fame that I've been given through this podcast, Bathmate was kind enough to send me a penis pump to try out. Now, I told him, you know, on a good day, I'm pushing 9 inches. He sent me the Hydro Extreme 7, and I was hesitant to use it at first because, again, I don't really feel like I need this. But the way they explained it to me is this is kind of like a workout. My dick is like an athlete, like a professional athlete, like, let's say, an NFL player. And it needs to work out daily. So I need to pump iron with this thing about 3 times a day. Do 3 minutes of pumping, and then we do 2 minutes of what we call jelking. And we do that 5 times a week, so 15 different sessions. To say that Stephanie can feel a difference is, I mean, it goes without saying. I can feel a difference because I'm feeling parts of Stephanie I've never felt before. So I know she can feel a difference. Y'all, it's fun. It feels pretty good. And I mean, it boosts the confidence. I think you should check it out. Go ahead and get one for yourself. BathmateDirect.com/StephanieClassX.